Welcome to iHeart Geek.
And welcome to the final season two Mandalorian episode of iHeart Geek.
Aww.
I'm happy and sad at the same time. You know what? I've grown to love this cast so much. We have grown. We've loved each other. We've gotten to know each other. Boom, 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 boom. But all good things must end, and I'm sure we will be doing a supplemental coming on down the road.
Oh, honey, there's a season three coming. You know we will be back.
We have like several hundred Marvel movies and like 5,000 Star Wars shows. I think we're good to go. Yeah?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
So this one we are not covering an episode since we've covered all of them. We are actually just going to be kind of talking about our feelings of the season in general. We're going to talk about some of the theories for next season. And we have a little bit of listener feedback that they want us to talk about. So I will be throwing that out. Can you guess what Blythe wanted to talk about? Anybody want to take a guess? Yeah.
I know exactly what Blythe wants to talk about.
Lollipops
and he's
and
wrong.
Rainbows.
We will get there. So let's start with this question. Very important question. Going into this season and then coming out of this season, What were your expectations? Were they met? Better, worse, et cetera, et cetera? Let's start with Christina.
Exceeded my expectations.
What were you expecting?
Well, even at the very beginning, clearly I wasn't expecting Boba Fett, and that was the beyond amazing treat.
Mm-hmm.
I still talk about all of it. I tried to bribe my brother to give me his Boba Fett action figure and
good luck.
He hasn't watched Mando, and then his wife narked me out, so I'm not getting it.
Fair enough.
But yeah, no, really, I kind of expected, you know, the journey to continue, obviously, but I think that both Fennec and Boba Fett were such a delightful, delicious treat.
Yeah.
And I think that just added so much richness to the entire story.
Outstanding. Chris?
This season blew all of my expectations out of the water. There's a saying at my former employer, which is a giant tech company known as the Fruit Stand in some circles, that one of their core missions with their customers is to surprise and delight every single experience.
The underwear company, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, just checking. I like to be surprised and delighted with my underwear. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Techie underwear.
There were so, like, I knew the journey, like what Christina said, the journey had to continue. I didn't expect any of the stuff that they did. And, you know, teasing Boba Fett in the first episode and then the payoff of that. Like, there were so many, like, little bits and pieces that were just like teased at, and then it just
delivered.
Happened.
Yeah.
And it was just like, yes, this is Star Wars. Like,
nice.
The magic's back.
Satomi?
It absolutely surpassed my expectations. I mean, let's face it, I am one of those people that I am on for the ride. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to buckle up and, you know, take the wheel, Jesus, you know, just take me where this is going to go. And, you know, of course we talked theories. We've talked theories before, and this one just took all of my theories and sort of put them in the, boggle box of life and shook it the hell up and splatted it down on the game table, and it spelled out beautiful, glorious words. And I'm thrilled and excited for the next season.
Yeah. No, and I got to be honest, coming into this season, I expected maybe what I would grade any of these episodes is about a C+, maybe a B. Wow, that blew me away. The first season was okay. I mean, I didn't love it. I liked it. I mean, there's a couple of moments in that first season that were absolutely amazing. But there was nothing that said, this is the best thing in the world. Second season comes, I'm like, where was this the first season? This is everything Star Wars has meant to me and meant to so many other people. And if you're not a, you know, crusty human being, this should be everything that you wanted in Star Wars. This is everything, you know, when we... most of us anyway, that are of a certain age watched Star Wars in the theater, this is what we felt. And this is finally what we felt again. Nothing else has given me personally that. And, you know, as I say, if you want to pick things apart, you can pick them apart. But this season was, I don't know how they can possibly top it.
Well, this season, they also had the money. And they had the, you know, the much, much more green lights. Those wheels were greased.
Mm-hmm.
Because as any show that starts, the first season's always sort of an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sort of finding their way. And some shows hop in much more successfully on a first season than anything else. And this one, actually, I thought did great on a first season. It wasn't like, you know, be all end all. But I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. And so I think it's more that they had more permission this season to push the limits. You know, they had a second unit that could be out shooting some really incredible stuff. I mean, I'd agree. I'm agreeing with you. I'm just filling in the blanks of why it's so common. Yes. Yeah. That a first season might not be all we want it to be, because there's also, you know, there's often more studio control in a first season, whereas now they're like, you guys are awesome.
Favreau, Filoni, do what you want to do.
Yeah. Well, yes. one of the things they said in like their wind down, their little behind the scenes, is that they came in with a stronger level of confidence too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that's huge.
Yeah. Well, like Filoni said that he didn't want Ahsoka in the first season, because he's like, I didn't know if this was going to be worth it. I didn't know if this was going to make it. And he didn't want to take that toy out of his toy box unless it was going to be worth it. And then second season, they realized, oh, yeah, it's all worth it.
Well, also, since, you know, Filoni created that character, there's probably a preciousness to it for him. Yeah. So he didn't want to put it out there in something that wasn't going to take care of his precious.
Well, kind of. Well, Filoni seems like a guy that still has a lot of his
Are we going the Italian pronunciation?
Is that it? I don't know.
Filoni.
Filoni. How do I say it?
Filoni.
Filoni.
You got the very Italian there. I love it.
I'm Irish. You're an Irish Italian. That sounds like something you can only find in Jersey. I don't know.
That's true.
Actually, I'm sure there's quite a few.
So, but with that being said, I think he's the guy that has all his Star Wars toys, and they were never in the blister packs. He pulled them all out because he plays with them to this day. And I love that.
Yeah.
That's who I want to make my Star Wars. On the behind the scenes, they talked to Robert Rodriguez, who did the episode that introduced Boba Fett back into the proper universe now. And it goes on to talk about how he pulled out his toys. His literal Star Wars toys.
I know, that killed me.
Do the stunts and all that with the toys. And I'm like, that is why this is what it is. So you jerk fanboys that just want to tear everything down. Yeah. You can go find another toy box to play. You go play the G.I. Joes, because that property's dead. You can play about that one all day long.
Well, you know,
I love G.I. Joe, but yeah.
It speaks so to the magic. The magic and the imagination and why it works. Cause all of us just want to be big kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like a kid again when I watch this, and that's what is perfect about it. So before we get into some of our stuff, let's get into the Facebook things. I put this up about 4 hours ago, so we got way too much feedback already. Okay, let's see. Tyler Romine. The future of Mandalore now that the new ruler has been crowned and if Bo-Katan will accept him as such. Let's discuss this. I think that's going to be the entire series next season, I think. Unless they decide to follow a different Mandalorian character, he's not going to rule for very long. My own personal opinion. Because he's got to leave, otherwise that's not going to be a good show.
There's, you know, they set up the conflict with Mando and Bo-Katan over the Darksaber, so we're going to see that play through at least part of next season.
Yeah.
Because there's, it, like, There's no way around it.
Any thoughts from Christina or Satomi?
Nothing except I agree.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, I think it's going to be part of the arc, whether they, I mean, they're clearly fond of Bo-Katan and Katie Sackhoff, and you know, there's so much story that already exists there that they can plumb for rich episodes. Mm-hmm. Will they make that the arc of the entire season? I don't think so.
I hope not.
I don't think so. I think it'll be, you know, sort of something that either comes in and out, or they do an episode dedicated to, you know, to that, because, you know, Mando is now, Mando essentially pulled a Draco Malfoy. And the Elder Wand now belongs to him, technically.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, so they've got to address it, but really they can do it in an episode, maybe two.
Okay, well,
I'm definitely interested in that episode, because we've seen her consistently get a little bit darker. But in that moment when she tells Mando that it's true, like he can't just give it to her, there's also this low level sadness there, because I think she's really come to respect Mando. And so I'm kind of interested to see how they're going to walk that through for her as character development, and what they're going to do on that level.
To piggyback on that, in, I forget if it's either Clone Wars or Rebels, she's actually given the Darksaber and she accepts it without fighting.
Okay.
So
I haven't gotten to that part yet.
The whole thing with spoilers, sorry. Yeah. The whole Moff Gideon thing, when she's like, you're just a pretender if you accept it. I think they were playing into that a little bit. Because, you know, here's the Mandalorian offering her the Darksaber again. And she knows, as well as Moff Gideon knows, that if she takes it, she's you know, a fraud in the eyes of the rest of Mandalore. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
So does anybody want to put Vegas odds if it stays with Jyn as the Mandalorian main character without the child, or does the child come back, or are we going to focus on a whole different Mandalorian, or the whole sect of the Mandalore?
Well, child's coming back.
We'll talk about that. Let's kind of hold off on that.
Okay, no, but I mean, you put it out there. And yeah,
I did. But
yeah.
I don't think we have a Mandalorian show with Jyn without the child.
Right.
And the Mandalorian could refer to
the Mandalorian people.
The Mandalorian people. Or I was going to say Grogu, because in season one, the Armorer is like, you're now a clan of two. So.
Oh. It could follow it, which people might watch that show. Yeah, I think people would follow watch, except for certain other people we'll get to.
They've created Bonnie and Clyde, or maybe Bonnie and Clyde's the wrong one. But I mean, they've created essentially
Tango and Cash.
Identity of, you know, yeah, exactly. couldn't split up Tango and Cash. Sorry.
It's Lethal Weapon Team. Moment. Everybody else.
Yes. So,
I'm surprised nobody said Chewie and Solo. Come on, guys.
Well,
it's a boy and his dog.
But you know, they've set up this, their identities are that they are entwined. You don't have a show if you don't have them both.
Fair enough.
Don't have a show. You might have an episode or two, like when Buffy was dead, but you know, it's called Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You're not going to have a show without Buffy. It's called The Mandalorian. And we as an audience have come to embrace The Mandalorian to be the Mandalorian and with his little buddy.
With his son.
My buddy.
I'm
going to
give
tonight.
It a 10% chance that they follow other characters in the world of Mandalore instead of him. That's my fair... About 10% chance.
Maybe for an episode or part of an episode.
I think it could go there. Because
really? All the way.
But we'll talk about why later. We'll see.
I think Jon Favreau is too smart for that.
I hope so. But then again, you know what?
Jon, listen, we'll tag you.
I also hope that he's smart enough to keep me guessing, and he has been the entire time.
Oh, yeah. He's brilliant.
We did not ask for anything they gave us, and they gave us everything we didn't know we wanted. I'm not above that.
Very true.
Fair enough?
Yeah.
Okay, next comment comes from Blies. Okay.
We love you, Blies. We really do.
I don't love your comment, but we love you. Okay. Doesn't have to be in a mean way, but I feel you should bring up the realization that Grogu is canonically dead until they write him out of it. Maybe theory crafting a bit, but what could they do? And I want to go through this kind of, there's a couple of things. Tyler Romaine said that he just wants us to hear on the show Grogu is dead. So he gets that. Grogu is dead. I don't believe that, but I gave him that for the show. Let's see. And he can't, you can't say I'm wrong because I can never say that word. Canonically?
Canonically.
Canonically. That is his fate. They may.
It's not, but go ahead.
They may and will write him out, but we have a set of timelines and a timeline. All of Luke's students are deceased. Now, this is the same people that say, wait. These same people that say unicorns exist. Really? Well, prove it. Well, you can't prove that it doesn't, so therefore they do exist. That's as far as I feel with the Grogu
that's
people.
That's Blies' argument. Yeah.
It's a stupid argument. Because I think it is, because therefore it's 100% logically right. Logically, I will give it to you. That's probably what could happen. But I also know logically that Disney's not going to flush $1 billion of merchandising down the toilet.
Well, also logically, it could not happen.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let Chris take this one.
Yeah, because he's dying to.
Do it, Chris. Do it.
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
I love that.
Yes. Canonically, Grogu goes with Luke Skywalker. The Luke Skywalker we're presented with at the end of season 2 is 5 years removed from Return of the Jedi. What we see in the sequel trilogy is 20 plus years down the road. We have no idea if Kylo Ren and Grogu meet, although that would be a fun thing to examine. Mm-hmm. We don't know. We just don't know. Yes, I will. For the sake of the argument, we all know what happens to Luke Skywalker's Jedi Temple. It gets burned to the ground and everyone dies because Kylo Ren kills them all. But there is no evidence of that aside from picture of just a burning temple. Like, we don't know who's there. We don't know.
He could have graduated.
He could have graduated, or Ben Solo could have been poisoned by Grogu. And I forget.
We have said that. But that was my theory.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And I kind of like that. I kind of like that theory that, you know, we've talked a lot about Grogu's supposed dark side leaning power. So it would be interesting. There's a lot of possibilities what they could do. But I'm going to strongly disagree that Grogu is not dead. He is not dead. He's alive. He is somewhere. Because we have no idea what's happening next.
I'm not going to accept that he is without proof. And when he does, cool. Game of Thrones, it cool. But they never got rid of a character that made Game of Thrones that much money. Sean Bean didn't make them that much money. I'm just saying. Nobody at the Red Wedding made that much money. Jon Snow did, and they kept him around till the end. I'm just saying.
If Grogu dying fits
the story.
Story arc.
I'm in.
Yeah. But just to say, well, we see who he goes with and we see what happens in the sequels. He's dead. I'm kind of being a jerk about it. I'm sorry.
Well, so are the people that have been saying this constantly. So I love y'all, but y'all know.
I'm just saying that there is no way in HE double hockey sticks that Mando sacrificed everything he believed in by his code for Grogu to be dead. There's just no way. There's no way.
Mando loves Grogu too much, and I think we're going to see a lot of that going forward.
No, I honestly believe that they don't have a show without pulling the child back on. This
they
is
can't the even pull a Luke situation. You know, like Grogu senses Mando's in danger and he leaves.
He leaves.
Yeah.
You know?
Because he's more of a teen.
You could jump in like 10 years later and there's this battle between, I'm just saying, you know, this battle between Boca and Mando, and Grogu can sense that. Like, I mean, they have a lot of options, a lot of directions they can go at this point.
Luke never finished his Jedi training, technically. Technically.
Nope. Yep. And he's the baddest dude out there.
Exactly. So, I mean, when people are making the argument that canonically Grogu is dead, there is no support for it. There's no support for it because there's a large chunk of blank slate in between this period at the end of season two and when the temple burns. Because Ben was not 5 when he burned down the temple.
No, he had to be at least 15, 16 years old.
Yeah. And actually at this point in time, because if we're talking the end of
Jedi,
Return of the Jedi.
No.
5 years after. Yeah.
5 years after. Even if they had a kid, he'd be like 4.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot that can happen in 10 years, y'all.
Now. No one on this is saying that there's no way he died. Mm-hmm. It's possible.
No, it's absolutely possossible.
I believe that you should look at both sides of it. And if you just want to be a curmudgeon and say, he's dead, why do you watch these shows?
Oh my gosh.
Seriously, that doesn't seem like someone that loves the franchise. That seems like someone that's wants to watch the world burn, you know? Go watch our last Joker episode. You'll fit right in.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is a great episode, BT Dubs. All right.
So let's move on to our next one. And this was probably, this wins as my favorite comment. And this one's just kind of a comment. This is why I love Mandalorian. And this is why I think we all love it. This is from Kevin McLear. I haven't talked to you before,
yes.
Kevin. So my 5-year-old daughter and I had a moment during the last episode. The moment when you see the green lightsaber, I get super excited and told my little girl that it was Luke because it was the color green. She said, no, Daddy, Luke's saber is blue. After I explained the timeline and how it was green at this point, I had a revelation that my daughter was having some of the same experiences that I had at her age when it comes to this series and how much it means to me to have great content that we can both enjoy. Just a very special moment indeed.
I read that and it gave me chills and it made me tear up when I read that comment.
But that to me in a nutshell is why The Mandalorian is the greatest thing we've seen out of the Star Wars universe since Return.
No.
Because this is, you are having the same experience you had with your kids, if you have kids, or you know, with other people that haven't experienced it before. It's fantastic to me. So thank you for that comment. That really made my day. Next one up is Hal Savar. Let's see. Possible other amazing Luke style cameos moving into next season and how that could work. This is a tough one. I don't want to see Leia. I want to see Chewie. I think a Chewie would be a good one. I would even be good with seeing maybe C-3PO. But I don't want to see too much more. Honestly.
I like Luke showing up once.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, we saw Luke once and that's what made it special. I don't want to see, you know, and we haven't seen anybody from the old universe except for him and R2. That's it. Boba fits the story in a different way. He wasn't the major part of the originals that we all like to pretend he was. Yeah, fight me on it. be mad. It's okay. But I don't want to see a whole lot. Maybe stuff out of the Clone Wars universe since I'm actually watching that now. Unlike some people. Just kills me.
everything I've done on the show is a lie.
Everything.
I actually have to send you something too, Wendell. On a side note, for the Clone Wars, my son actually has a thing where it's the order you're supposed to watch it is completely different than the order that they're released.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Send that to me because I've already started it.
Because I've been watching it.
Because he hasn't started it yet.
I'll send it to you guys all because it's actually pretty cool because it makes more sense. Because I watched season one and I was like, I don't get this. And he's like, no, 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 Mom. Here, watch it like this. And now I'm like, oh. So I'll send it to you guys.
We're going
to
have Christina post this on Facebook so that you guys can watch
it. And on Discord. Yeah. And if you guys, want to jump on Discord, we're doing some cool stuff on there. And you want to talk to us constantly, jump on Discord. It's a new technology for me, but we are talking on it constantly for some reason or the other. Okay, next one up. Let's go with Fury D. DeMonico. And that he asked, where is Ezra Bridger? And actually, PB and Jason had, I think will be the only correct answer to this. He will most likely appear in the Ahsoka spinoff. I don't know much about this character, but I hear a lot about him. I haven't gotten there yet in Clone Wars because I'm actually, take my time and watching them one at a time. With that being said, do you guys have any love on Ezra Bridger?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead, Chris.
He's like the main character in the Star Wars Rebels cartoons. And he's trained, this is the short version, he's trained by a former Jedi Knight called Kanan Jarrus, voiced by Freddie Prinze Jr. And then they meet Ahsoka. And that's how that kind of ties in, our universe and Admiral Thrawn together. So in terms of next season and in terms of who the next, cameo is going to be, I think it's going to be Ezra and Admiral Thrawn.
Thrawn's going to be a big one.
Because I don't want to spoil Rebels for anyone on this panel who hasn't seen it, but the ending of it,
because he watched that guy
that was Shade Thrown
inadvertently but at the ending of Rebels is open-ended, that's all I'll say, and it involves them to where it's feasible Ahsoka appeared in Mandalorian, that Thrawn and Ezra Bridger will eventually appear in The Mandalorian. So yes, I think it's possible that we'll be seeing Ezra maybe wield his lightsaber and
ask for your expertise on something, should we watch Rebels first or Clones, but I'm anybody's game.
Disney Plus actually recently sent out an email with a with a timeline on all of the stuff that's out there right now. So I flagged it in my email. I will post that on the Facebook and in Discord for anybody who wants to hop on this with us. Because I will say I went back and watched the prequels because I'm starting from the beginning. Yeah, I went back and watched them again. It was
painful.
I mean, that's 6 hours of my life I'm not going to get back, you guys.
Ever.
But I will say storyline, actually, the storyline is very sound. It's just that the script is...
It's terrible. It's toilet paper.
Embarrassing. Yeah. It's embarrassing. And now I lost my train of thought. But, so I will post that if anybody wants to get on this ride with us of going back, starting from the beginning and following all the way through, you will have a guide.
In fact, I think we might even do our own little sub Discord thing with just following along with the movies or with the TV shows, the Star Wars universe. Because I know Christina likes to make those for some reason.
No channels, I do.
Yes, you do. It's cool. Okay, now this is some of the hard truth that I'm going to be spitting out now. Well, not a hard truth. This is it's hard to think about. We have 12 episodes coming out. Wow, that hurts. We have not 12 episodes. We have 12 different Star Wars shows coming out within the next 2 years. Yep. This is going to hurt stories a lot. Some of these look good. 4 of them look good. The rest of them look very bad. Do you think this is going to hurt Mandalorian, or do you think Mandalorian is the king at the moment? So it's... But we're going to kind of stick to Mandalorian on this because the other stuff.
I think it depends on how they release it, what they release it. I do think that Mandalorian has set a standard, and as long as they continue Mandalorian at that same standard, I don't think it matters what they do with anything else. I'm excited about some of them, but I don't think it's going to matter. If they keep the same quality content, it's not going to matter. I mean, I love Star Wars 4, 5, and 6, and I'm not a big fan of the rest of them, but I still love 4, 5, and 6, and it doesn't diminish what they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Yeah, I'm really not sure. I am really not sure. I think it's unwieldy what they're trying to attempt next.
I think that's what screwed them up last time.
It's a lot. And what you're also have to take into consideration is subject fatigue. Because at what point does everybody just go, I'm full. I am full. I've had my fill. That was delicious. And I'm done. No, I don't need any more. Sure. Exactly. Exactly. You know,
at that point, we'll just say we saw it when we didn't.
Yeah. Never getting over that, Chris. But yeah, I mean, you know, Favreau and Filoni can only have their fingers in so many pies as far as making sure that it stays. They might succeed at it, though. They might succeed because they've really put together such a fantastic team for this. So, you know, I'm going to get on that roller coaster. And if I start getting nauseous, I'll just get off.
So here's the deal. What gives me hope that they're not going to Star Wars us to death is the Book of Boba is only 4 episodes.
Yes.
So if they keep the lengths of these mini, I'm going to just refer to them as mini series.
Yeah.
If they keep them as mini series, like a handful of episodes, kind of like Queen's Gambit, which is like 7.
Yeah. Which is so good.
It's so good. Not to, but that's a different show for another podcast or this podcast. But if they keep it concise and to the point and they don't say, here's 7,000 seasons of Ahsoka Tano. I mean, I love Ahsoka Tano, but there's only, like if everyone's been saying, there's only so much they can put out before just like, okay, do something else. Because like the high we're all on from this amazing season, I want that to continue with the other shows. But
I want some delayed gratification with it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like everyone's suggesting, you know, there is that Star Wars fatigue and, you know,
and Marvel fatigue, Disney in general fatigue.
Yeah. I mean, I love Disney no matter what, but like Marvel, like I stopped like watching like the series after the second Avengers movie. And then I just watched Endgame and the whatever fourth one was. Well, I think the fourth one was Endgame, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Well, here's the facts as far as Disney putting out content. And yes, I'm throwing Marvel in with this. Between Star Wars and the Marvel shows, we have a Sunday episode scheduled for the next year. We don't have
a lot of content.
We don't have a week off.
Mm-hmm.
Not one.
That's a lot of content.
That scares me. I say, you know, I'm happy because, you know, either we'll love it and we'll gush about it or we'll hate and we'll crap on it, which both of them would make for great shows. Because that's like what
we should actually do a podcast about how bad episodes 1 through 3 were.
Yeah. I'm down.
I'm in. If we want to do it.
We're going to do that with this crew. We will do this for our Patreon subscribers.
Yes.
Group right here. And
everything wrong with episodes 1 through 3.
We might even invite Blyzen on that one because that'll be amazing. So yeah, get on the Patreon, guys, because there is so much content.
So much coming.
Yes. We're trying to keep up, and in order for us to keep up, we do have to ask for your guys' help. So the Patreon, check it out.
Yeah.
It helps us out a lot. It doesn't cost you really anything much. Yeah. Anyway, back on the subject at hand, what do you want to see next season? What's the one thing you want to see next season? We've had 3 weeks to mull it over. What do you want to see next season? Let's start with Christina, because I always start there today.
Yeah, we start there today. I just want Grogu back. I know. Anything else, I'll take it. I'll love it. I'll hate it. But I just, I need him back. I know. I'm sorry. I like him more than my kids. Don't listen, kids. he's well, when he, you know, kids
Matthew, have dark sides. You know what your mother just said.
kids have dark sides, but they weren't this cute about it. Like, and I didn't have to clean up Grogu's spit up, but I digress. No, I really want to see the evolution of Mando continue from how rigid he was at the beginning of everything to being this person that sacrifices everything for this child that he has now loved and fostered. I want to see where that's going to take him next within his universe.
Nice. Now, normally I would go to Satomi next, but I want to actually do mine next. I want to see the day-to-day Mando without the mask. I think that adds such a dimension to the character. Yes, I fought it, and I think that it happened too soon. But now that the cat's out of the bag, I want to see, because this has to change his entire psychology. He was able to hide behind that every day of his life since he was a youngling, whatever that age that is. He's never been without the mask. I want to see what his day-to-day looks like without the mask. I think that is such an important thing that we all like to overlook, but it's really important. So go ahead.
Can I jump on that really quick?
You can.
One of the things that we were talking about, Sean and I, is that with Grogu gone, is he going to crawl back under that mask? Because that's where he felt safe and that was what he knew. And now this thing that he's loved is gone. Is he going to revert back?
Or does he scorch earth on it?
Yeah.
It could go either way, which is kind of amazing. What about you, Satomi?
Are we talking what we want to see? Or are we talking predictions?
Yes.
Okay. I want to see Grogu back, like Christina, and I think it will happen. I don't think it'll be for the first episode or two. I also think, Dub, you have an amazing point. I predict / want to see that be an evolution to him dropping the mask, because we cannot deny the psychological implications and the, you know, the parallels that they're drawing with that. And I think there's going to be a whole process of shedding that mask. And then I think he's going to end up faced with his fellow, the religious Mandalores. I think there's going to be that conflict of, okay, he's finally deciding to shed it. And then here's your old crew.
I think that's going to be the main adversary is
his own,
his own people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chris?
On my wish list, there are many things, but for the sake of this podcast and time, the one thing I'd like to see next season is a time jump in the story. Because I think if you pick it up right where it left off, hear me out. If you pick up right where it left off, it's too soon. I want like a year to like 3 years to jump, so that way we know that Grogu's been away for a long time, and you know, maybe the Mando is comfortable with just like taking his helmet on and off whenever.
Because he's been with Bo-Katan and all of them for a year.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would like to see just like a time jump when we start the next season, but honestly, I've been so happy with the show, I don't care what they do.
If it's a time jump, I think that me personally, I will be really accepting of it if it's a year. Why? Because it will have been a year since the last time we watched it. Because it comes out next Christmas.
Yeah.
That to me feels very natural, and I like that pacing. Because it really brings you into a real time. And you can grow Grogu a little bit without making him a teenager. You know, I don't want to see teenage Groot.
That's the exact thought that I was having, is I don't want to see teenage Groot. Because he develops slowly anyway, so he shouldn't be that much more developed, but there should be a little bit.
He's in more of his no phase.
Well, yeah,
No, he's already in mine.
Groot's development's much faster.
Yes.
Tree. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, yeah, really fast for a tree.
I think, you know, with the time jump, like, we get to see Grogu, like, actually controlling his powers and controlling the Force. You know, that way, you know, because we've seen him kind of, like, test them out and see what he can do. Like, I want to see what happens after he's had a few years of training, like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, because when someone's focused at something they're good at, lots of things could happen.
That actually brings me to another theory that I have, which is that maybe Luke realizes that Grogu is too attached to the Mandalorian and needs to be like hands him back to him. Like says, I can't train him.
Which would be, you know, and you, yeah. There's a lot of ways they could go with that. I can see it was kind of cool.
So I have a confession and a question really quick. So I have not, I've tried, I've gotten 45 minutes into Force Awakens. I've tried.
I'm sorry.
I haven't watched them, but I'm going to, I promise. But my question is, do we know on the timeline when did Luke start the school, and could Grogu be the reason he starts the school?
Oh.
Well, we're not going by the novel, so I don't know.
Because the novels are not,
canonical anymore. I said it right.
Yay.
I have show evolution. So I think it's a possibility. We don't know.
Okay.
So let me ask this last question, getting out of here. Who is, and you're not allowed to say Boba Fett, who is your favorite person slash actor, character slash actor that you saw coming in this year? And what was the most disappointing? Christina, you have something already.
I love Fennec. I love the actress herself. I think she's incredibly Chun-Li. Talented. Yeah. And I love the character. I love her. Gosh, I love how quickly, because Boba saved her. I love how she just slides right into, we're a team now. And she's a big part of the reason I'm excited for the Boba Fett series, as much as I love Boba Fett. She's genius, and she had his back every step of the way, and whatever he said, she did and made happen. And I just thought she did a great, great, great job. Nice. My least favorite. Oh, my least favorite. And I can't remember his name. I should have started with him. The blue guy.
Oh, Horatio Sanz's character. Yeah.
Horatio Sanz. I think Horatio is super, super talented, but It starts with an M, right? Or something like that. Well, I don't remember his name, but anyway, I felt like
forgettable.
I felt like they tried to use him to bring some comic relief, but he was a little more annoying for me.
He was the Jar Jar.
Yeah, he was. He was kind of the Jar Jar of the series. So sorry if that was on anybody else's list.
So tell me, what about you?
Well, while I love me some Ming-Na Wen and Fennec, and yay, Asian girl power, I'm sort of obsessed with Rosario and Ahsoka Tano. I think, not having watched the Clone Wars before, except now I'm watching them, unlike some other people in this podcast.
You better watch that by the time we do another show.
What is it? 7 seasons of it? There's a ton.
I got time.
I'm suffering through it. You better suffer through it.
So we should watch those and do an episode, and then we should watch Rebels and do an episode.
I'm down.
That means I actually have to watch Clone Wars. But
yes, you do. Yes, you do.
But anyway, go ahead. Yes.
But yeah, I bought her instantly. She commits 100% to that character. I think she looks great. I think her character development, I mean, not character development, she already carries with her the weight of her history, which, you know, is a challenge for actors. Not everybody can just come right in out of the gate, first time on an episode, and be able to carry all of that weight that she had, you know, with her disappointment with what happened with Anakin and her history with Yoda. And and I bought her as this like super cool alien Jedi, mm-hmm. you know, who could commune, could, you know, mind meld with Grogu. So really dug her. And apparently she was fan cast as well. So good job, fans. Disappointment. I've got to agree with Christine on that. Originally, it was funny. I was going to say, what's his name? Who was the Boba fake out?
That's mine.
Yeah, where I was like, but it was so funny because as soon as you said, you know, Horatio Sanz, I was like, oh yeah, I hated him so much I forgot about him. So I have to say him.
Fair enough.
You know,
Chris.
My favorite actor this season was Giancarlo Esposito.
He was fantastic.
He didn't have a lot of screen time. But when he was on the screen,
he took the whole screen.
It was, I don't know if it's because he's just so good at playing bad guys. But
so good.
It was so awesome. It's just like, I could go on and on about him.
It belonged to him.
Yeah. He's perfect in the role.
Yeah.
And he brings this.
And I hope we see more.
Oh, yes.
I can't say he's my favorite because he's so good. I hate him so much.
Well, you know, I if I had to pick someone else, it would be Pedro Pascal because we got to see a lot more of his range with and without the mask on. But my least favorite character, oh, my God. There's like three I could pick, but I will also have to go with Timothy Oliphant and or Horatio Sanz.
Fair enough. Just
like, why?
Yeah.
I mean, I know why Timothy Oliphant's character was there, because, like, to set up the whole Boba Fett thing. But I don't think we needed to see Fishy McFish guy.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah,
Fishy McFish face.
Yeah.
Ironically, it would have been the frog lady for me until the beginning. Until the beginning of the second episode she was in. And the that moment... Book. Well, no, the second one when she meets her husband again, that moment, that I fell in love with her in that moment. So.
Yeah, they taste like chicken.
Welcome to Louisiana.
So my favorite, I'm surprised nobody else took it, is the Bill Burr character.
I thought about him. Yeah.
He is my spirit animal. I don't go back on what I said that entire episode. I love the season. I think I love it twice as much because of the Bill Burr character. He was that good, and that character was that good, and the evolution was that good. Just absolutely perfect. And my least favorite, I was going to say the Oliphant character, but I'm kind of torn on this one. And my least favorite, I hate to say it because of the, I think physically she was perfect. I think acting, she was so bad, was the Sasha Banks character.
Oh, I'm not saying that Gina Carano.
Okay. I've forgiven a lot. I think her acting's still terrible, but physically she's great. But I think that Sasha Banks was the worst actress of the series, bar none. Physically perfect for the role. And I get why they cast her. I just...
Hey, she brought a fierceness to those action parts.
She did. But when she talked, she took it all away.
You know, I just had a random thought when we were talking about the spider episode real quick. And, you know, Grogu was eating those little bubble, the little eggs.
Yeah.
And then they were floating in the thing. So essentially, Grogu likes Boba tea.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. And that's how we end this series of shows. This was the Mandalorian season 2. Thank you everybody who watched us at these episodes. There was a lot of y'all, and we really appreciate it. It means a lot to us. Like, subscribe to all that other stuff. We have a ton more content coming to you, and you don't just have to be on the Patreon, but it helps. Until next time, right now, I'm Dub. I'm here with Christina and Chris and Satomi. Keep on geeking on. This is the way. Until next year.
The way this is.
You have been listening to the latest episode of the iHeart Geek Show. Make sure you visit our website at www.iheartgeekshow.com. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you check us out on YouTube, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And keep on geeking on to all of you geek rock stars.